right. to it.
Cool.
All right. Why is there a continue? I haven't even started the game. Oh, okay. Standard difficulty mode for players familiar with action games. I don't want a laid-back adventure. Okay, 1, 2, 3. All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim Rants into the Heavens Live. I was almost said Grim's Late Night Open Mic, but whatever. I'm just doing Rants into the Heavens Live, and the only reason why I'm doing that, to be honest, is because I can't get art. I can't pay an artist to make me a thing where I'm doing Grim Late Night Open Mic Rants, you know, because I had this big idea where it was going to be like a bunch of waifus trying to grab the mic at the same time and Grim just kind of like looking, you know, back off like, holy shit, I didn't know everybody wanted to talk at the same time. And they're all fighting over the microphone. That was the kind of, that was the thumbnail I was going to go for the show. But I'm not paying somebody.
I mean, I could do it if I got, I should have time for a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to give it a shot, I'll, you know, I'm for it. It's however you want to do it, and we can kind of bounce ideas back and forth and see what you want to do. I don't really care. I was gonna try it with AI, but the problem with AI is good at one image. It's good at
Too many characters in a picture would be complicated.
Yeah, and not only that, they start blending together. That's the biggest problem with AI. Ooh, this game really moves fluid. Okay. Well, this is cool.
It's just the more complicated you make a picture, the more prompting you have to do.
Ah,
you have to specify girl A, girl B. It's like coding in a certain point.
Oh, yeah. I've done that. I've done that with two characters, but three, oh my god, it was ridiculous. And some of them can't read. Even if you code it real well, they still can't read it. Unless you're like a really, really, again, you have to be like either a very skilled, I guess, programmer. Because a lot of this stuff is programming. That's technically what you're doing. So, and I mean, I guess I'm a D-class programmer. As far as it, you know, I can program a few things, but I'm not like God tier or anything like that. I can get shit running, basically. And some things I can't get running, or some things they just won't run because I don't know the way, like I don't know shortcuts. Like I was trying to program in Debian so I could get some extra options on my RetroPie, and it's like, nope. I'm not going to let you do this, and I don't know any kind of shortcuts or anything to make it so I could do that. Because that's the only way I can run OpenBore on there. And I'm like, yeah, I want to run it, but I can just run it on my computer. I'm not real that fucked up about it. I mean, I already got a machine that plays like almost every game from my childhood, plus millions of games from Japan I never heard of. And then it also plays all my anime and movies. So what the fuck am I really complaining about at this point? I don't need it to do everything. It does the things that I need it to do, and I'm happy with that. But yeah, so I got a new manager, actually an old manager, and it's a manager I never thought that was going to be a manager over my department or my section. And this manager is hardcore. She works the hell out of everybody, even the really old people. And it's a bit of a pain. I got the shit worked out of me. I'm fucking exhausted. So, yeah, I had a whole lot of stuff that I was planning on talking about, but now I'm like, fuck it. Like, I'm literally at that point because, it's just, oh, hold on, what the hell? They're trying to teach me something in the game. Oh, apparently you can block LB while facing a threat to block. Oh, Jesus. That's a pain in the ass. I like what they're teaching me, but I don't, you know.
Yeah, if you're lacking for a topic, we can always talk about that video I shared today with the Disney Renaissance animator validating my position on the AI animation.
Well, sure. Like, I haven't really sat down and watched it yet, but But yeah, basically, what the animators said, what that the animators are overworked.
That we've been here before, like when Pixar was new, they were like, "Oh no, computers and 3D modeling are gonna take over animation, and the hand drawn form will be gone forever." Yet here we.
I was gonna say, to be fair, there isn't too much animation that's technically hand-drawn. It's a lot of digital animation. And I'll make some very good...
I guess when people didn't under... Like, the CG, everyone just assumed, oh, you're not going to have to draw by hand. It's, oh, people who don't know how to draw are animating type of thing.
But one thing I will say, because I've been watching a lot of older anime before it was all digitized, and there is a certain charm in drawing... naturally, in the natural art.
But yeah, he was talking about how in the Renaissance era Disney, they were cheating with rotoscoping and using CGI for like Beauty and the Beast dance hall scene and stuff.
Sure.
Like, Disney company was not opposed to quote-unquote cheating back in the day. They just blended it with all the other techniques they already refined.
Right.
And he feels it's going to be the same for this, where it's like, he hopes he can train the AI on his art style if he was to dabble with it, and just have it automate shading and shadows, because that's like a third of the budget or something ridiculous.
Yeah,
People who don't...
Go ahead.
People don't animate, don't understand things like, oh yeah, this stuff is effort and money, and every cell requires detail.
Oh yeah.
Well, that makes sense, that people with skill will be better than people without skill.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just saying, like, this is just really rotoscoping with a modern filter. Like, he was talking about some old 80s animation called Fire and Ice, where they shot the whole movie in live action, but then just stylized it with the cell shading techniques.
Isn't that just... Was that Snow White?
Oh, all the old Disney animations did rotoscoping.
Yeah.
But they, like, used them as keyframes and did different stuff to kind of mask the fact as they got better with it. But he says AI is just another tool, and he's not worried because people are still going to want what they want. It just adds more styles and options.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like half of the reason why some, like, artists were afraid was because people were saying, oh, there's no need for artists now, and people go off that route. So, some people heard that and they got scared.
Yeah, it's people who can't draw an original style themselves. Like, they're basically doing what the AI does anyway.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
like, oh no. Me, who just Googles everything, copies everyone else's style, and just insert your fetish, your waifu, your favorite pose here.
Right.
Boom, this is art.
Right.
Give me money, please.
And see,
those lazy people with no substance behind their ideas that are in danger, not talented people.
Like, I've been messing around with a lot of the AI, you know, I mean, all of my stuff that I use for the thumbnails and stuff, it's all AI, but I was messing around, I'm like, let me go ahead and put in my character and then throw in Transmetropolitan and see if it'll understand, like, Transmetropolitan comic. And sure enough, it started drawing my character like that. And I said, well, let's try like this. You know, I was experimenting with it. I was actually having fun with it. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Let's try Judge Dredd. And it gave me a Judge Dredd look. Let's try Star Wars. And it gave me a Star Wars comic look, like my character looked like Darth Vader. And I was like, that's really cool, you know? And then I said, let's try something live action. So I was just trying all kinds of different styles and having a lot of fun with it. And the AI can recognize so many different styles, and I'm mixing them together. And that's something really cool. It would cost thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to get that shit to work in a real scale AI, real scale artist. Because they'd be like, oh, you want me to draw this in the style of this? It'd be like $150 here. So if I wanted all the pictures that I did for just, you know, $10, it was $10 for 1,000 images, it would cost me a lot more than $10. And I'm happy with a lot of the results. Are they all good? No. There's a lot of weird ones and a lot of ones that I wasn't crazy about. But when it gets it right, it gets it right. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, so that's how I feel about AI. I really like AI. I like using it because it really gives me a chance to, you know, let my creativity and my imagination kind of shine in a way that I can't do because I'm an awful artist. Like, I'm one of the worst artists. I'm one of those guys that I can kind of I used to be able to do that, but I probably can't do this now. But I used to be able to look at an image and draw it, like anime, usually Pokemon I was real good at. But stuff like the stuff I'm talking about, I couldn't do. So, and I couldn't do it right. I couldn't do it because I'm a perfectionist when it comes to that stuff. And when it looks like crap, I just don't even care anymore. But I can have the AI do what I can't. And I can have the things that I'm imagining, you know, actually work out. Like, let's try it in the style of Spawn. Let's try Todd McFarlane. Let's try, what was his name? Alex Ross. I wanted a realistic, you know, Alex Ross design. And that's really fucking cool to me. Because I never could do anything like that before. And, I mean, it's not anything against Alex Ross, but, you know, I mean, having Alex Ross do the kind of work I wanted to do would cost me thousands of dollars. Do you know how much it costs to hire, used to cost to hire some of these artists? To hire a professional comic book legend to do your art? Oh, my God. Most people couldn't afford it.
Or just, like, even these, like, Tumblr kids. They want, like, $100 for a basic doodle with flat shading. And it's like, I draw too, sucker. I know how long this takes. You're not worth $100. Like, I get you probably live in some expensive, ritzy-ass city, but that's not my problem.
Hey, yo, why are you hating on my gig? Why are you hating, bro?
But see, no, that's what's going on right now. A lot of people are getting real upset. They're like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay people top dollar. Again, the art that I did, this is what drove me to AI art. And I've said this a million times. I had an artist that I paid for from Twitter, and I paid $100 for something that I just didn't feel was worth $100. I wanted them to do art in a style of another artist that I used to use who now no longer has time for anything. You know, when Drexel stopped his show, he said, well, there's no need for me to work and do his stuff anymore, so I don't want to do anybody else's commissions anymore. And frankly, I've got all these Patreon commissions now, so I don't have time for anything for you. I'm like, well, damn. I mean, he was just being honest. And it's fair. You're an artist. You've got a lot of business.
That's another thing that makes a lot of these artists worthless in terms of, like, it's not a limitless business model for the artist. It's like, okay, you get popular. Now you can only do less art. And now what?
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Like, people who don't art do not respect the actual time it comes in.
No.
They just cry about, oh, the poor Japanese animators working themselves to death without really thinking about the weight of that.
To death, right. Don't even think about that.
And then they're like, oh, but the AI animation's going to replace these poor animators who are dying over their job.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, shouldn't you be fucking relieved?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about that guy that worked on Fatal Frame.
You would still need humans to guide the AI anyways. Like, even if you used the 3D models that Studio Trigger does to do their high-end scenes and just keyframe it in CG, you would still need humans to go in and, like, tweak the frame rates and edit the picture so it looks right.
And then, you know, we got to talk about Midjourney 5 came out. Holy crap. They're making, it's even more lifelike than it was. I'm like, damn, how can you make it better? They did. They made it look too damn real. They showed like a Rowan Atkinson from Midjourney version 1 to Midjourney version 5. And when you see it in Midjourney version 5, it just gets realer and realer and realer and realer. They showed some Arnold stuff, Terminator stuff that somebody had done. And it now looks just like he was in it. I'm like, oh my god. They're getting to the point to where they can literally make stuff that you won't even be able to tell. And, I mean, because that's what the realism is pushed. And they even fixed the hands in Midjourney Volume Version 5. They've shown that the hands are way better now. The hands were always a problem, but now the hands are getting to a point where it's, you know, it's no longer an issue anymore. People would say, oh, you know by the hands. You won't know by the hands anymore. A lot of telltale signs for these, you're going to start, you know, as Midjourney 6, Midjourney 7, Midjourney 8, you know, wait till we get to that level. You're like, holy shit, this is a real person. No, it's not. And people are already saying OnlyFans, they're just going to take that over with AI. They will. I mean, if you can make a woman, if you can make an image of a woman, like, naked, and you can make her perfect in the way you want, and, I mean, what
yeah,
the fuck?
Yeah, and it's like, the market's pretty much already bottomed out on this OnlyFans nonsense anyways.
Yeah, it has.
It's really pathetic, like, didn't they say in some statistic recently, like, the average OnlyFans girl doesn't even make $200 off of it?
Oh, yeah.
But yet they're, like, taking life-changing consequences at risk for $200?
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. Well, see, the crypto bros are also, like, that shit is actually going out as well. Like, a lot of people talking about, oh,
well, that's fine.
Yeah.
The crypto thing was stupid to begin with because you're basically paying for an algorithmic math problem.
Yeah. Now, like, go ahead.
Well, nobody likes math. Why do you think it's worth money?
But, you know, see, they're saying, well, you know, people made money. Sure, they bought in early. If you're an early adopter of something and you buy in early, that's fine.
Yeah, and it's also called a tulip market.
Right.
Like, it struck people's imaginations. It didn't have to be real.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's magical digi technology. It's like World of Warcraft money, IRL.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
And people just, they bought into the fantasy of it without thinking of the reality of it.
I mean,
and when the reality of it finally kicks into the dumbest idiot who paid the most money for it and they
right.
stop buying,
right.
that's when the whole thing falls apart, like Funko Pops.
Like
$37 million thrown away because it's too expensive to keep your own product.
Like,
glorious.
I'll tell you, I did buy crypto. How much? I only bought like $100 worth, and I only bought it just to kind of test it out. Let me buy $100 worth, see what this shit's like. You know what? It never did anything. I bought a little bit of Ethereum. I bought a little bit of, what was it? Not when Ethereum got big, but when Ethereum, you know, after it kind of, you know. I bought like a little bit of Cardano and stuff like that. And I was like, eh. I mean, I'm not really even that worried about it because I've never made a lot of money. Like, it's not something you can really make a lot of money of. It feels like everything I bought worth crypto is worth how much I bought it for. Like, there's never been a moment where
it's just, it's all speculative value. Like,
yeah.
People come to my booth wanting all these collectibles and nostalgic items for a childhood, thinking it's going to save their asses financially. And I'm at a point to where it's like, I'd rather just sell bootlegs or something to kids who actually enjoy it than sell you real ones any day.
So they're like, hold on a minute, you gotta, you know, because I have Magic cards I want to sell, but I don't know how much they're worth. And they're probably not worth that much, because I've been looking at the card prices.
Oh, well, they threw away $250,000 in that product recently.
Yeah, I know.
People only want, like, only the handful of actual money cards are worth anything, and no one cares about the rest of them.
Yeah.
Every Magic collector, they are the worst to shop for. They all want a bottomless amount of Magic cards, yet they have everything you can find for them, and they just expect to be a Black Lotus around every corner.
Oh, I know. I know. And, I don't have one.
It's like, I know what Mythic Rares are. The artifacts are already sold. What else do you want from me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, with me, I have, you know, a little bit of Urza's and maybe a little bit of, what was it? Ice Age? I think I have some Ice Age. I have, you know.
You're speaking Greek to me at this point. Like, I know the basics of the game, like a yardstick of, okay, this is powerful for this much mana type of thing. And
yeah, yeah, but I'm talking about, like, the different arcs or whatever. And I guess the main arcs I had were the Weatherlight arcs, and those aren't really worth that much. But I also had some Urza's. And I think a few of my cards are maybe worth, like, I saw some of them, one of them's worth, like, $50. I mean, I've not got anything that's worth thousands. I've got something that's worth tens, you know. So, altogether, I probably am looking at a couple...
No, that's pretty good. That's worth more than any card I can find, so...
I mean, yeah, I had these cards since I was a young man. I mean, I get it. I totally get it. A lot of people want these fucking thousands. I've looked at the card thing on the internet. I can't remember what it was called, but I've looked at that thing, and basically all it says is, you know, you don't have the card. And one of the things that did fuck me up is they had a re-release of they had Legends, which re-released an older series of cards. The Legends cards are not
worth... Yeah, they're getting bad about this.
The Legends cards are not worth shit. Now, the Legends cards came out in 99, but if you have the cards that the Legends cards were actually originally based on, those are worth some money. I mean, quite a sum of money. They're not Black Lotus level, but some of them are very high. Unfortunately, I have the Legends versions, so they're not worth much at all. Again, somebody told me they were going to give me maybe $600 for my collection, and that's probably as much as it's worth, which is not anything to shy from. And if it does get to that point to where I'm selling my collection for, you know, a mere $600, well, a mere $600, again, that's a good sum of money. Like, I'm not going to be upset if somebody says, I'll buy them for you for $600. I'll buy them from you for $5 or $1,000. That's fine. They can have them.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I tell my customers, it's like, once this stuff leaves your possession, it's harder to re-retrieve it at the prices that are reasonable, let alone what you sold it for.
Yeah.
So before you take it to me, take anything out of your pile that actually means something to you.
Right.
Because this cell is a one-way street.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it completely. Well, honest to God, I have no connection. About the only connection I have to those cards is not even a Magic card. It's a friggin' Mega Man X card that I have in there. I don't know where I got it or what. I think they were trying to make a Mega Man TCG, and it never fucking happened. And I got one Mega Man X card that I'll probably fucking keep. But other than that, I don't care. And I have shitloads of Dragon Ball Z cards. I mean, old school Dragon Ball Z cards. And I don't think they're worth a goddamn penny. So...
No, because Dragon Ball Z has a new format.
They were fun for a hot minute, but then no one cared. It's like getting the Zatch Bell card game or these other ones that... Yeah, no one has them, but no one wants them.
Yeah.
So they're not worth money, even if they're obscure.
Well, see, yeah. I mean, because I have Gundam Wing cards. And those might be cool as a novelty. Like, somebody might want them as something that isn't even a card game. They're like, wow, I didn't know that they made a Gundam Wing card game. I actually have foil Gundam Wing cards because I bought two boxes, and that's all they ever had. I bought two starter sets. Now, those starter sets are missing pieces and whatever, but if they were in good shape, they'd probably be, you know, worth a little more. But again, they had all the big characters, like all the big character suits and everything. So people might want those just because, I mean, I don't know how many other people have them, but I know for sure that, you know, I have two sets of them and they might go for something because of the, wow, it's Gundam Wing. I didn't know they made a card game out of this sort of thing. So,
well, as a Gundam fan and someone who has sold a little bit of Gundam, it seems people pretty much just want figurines and or model kits with Gundam.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, there's no, I mean, that's probably why I didn't catch on.
Like my pile of Japanese import figurine Pepsi top figures don't move.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you're the guy that knows mostly about all this stuff.
It's just on, I know how it sells. I don't know everything about the details of why you care.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, no, I'm not. That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about, how it sells. What moves, what doesn't move. You know, what's worth fucking selling?
Yeah, everyone's going for things that they believe are investments or whatever, like the Funko Pops that they advertise, or basically everyone buys them either because they're actually that much of a soy boy, and the rest of the people, like 95% of them, are either kids who just want them because cheap, cool toy that parent can afford.
Right.
Or it's other adults selling it to soy boys who overpay. And that's where this market's going to crash.
Oh, yeah. Well, I own a few, and I bought those because, again, one of them was Mega Man, which I didn't have any. You know, I always collect Mega Man stuff, so I have a lot of different Mega Man, different toys.
Well, it's one of those, like I said in that one joke I made.
And it's
there would be this urban legend where if you buy more than 3 Funko Pops, Drex will fuck your wife.
Yeah. Well,
oh, let me count my collection.
Let's see. I only have
1, 2.
I only have 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I only have 2. I have the Chatterer from Hellraiser because I bought that.
Don't buy another one, Grim. You're in danger.
I bought the Chatterer from Hellraiser, and I got the Mega Man Pop, which came with a shirt, believe it or not. And, yeah, I have a Funko Pop Mega Man shirt, which is weird as shit, but I have it. It was a GameStop exclusive. But one thing I am really cool about my GameStop, which doesn't exist anymore, is they had a rare $70 Mega Man X2 Dragon Armor fucking light-up figurine. I bought that motherfucker, and I do not regret that, because that's my favorite Mega Man X game, is Mega Man X2. So when I got the dragon armor, I'm like, oh my god, it's the fucking dragon. I knew it. Like, I knew it before anyone else did. It's like, holy shit, that's the dragon armor. So I bought it, and
Mega Man X is pretty much everyone's favorite besides, like, 4.
I mean, X2 was my favorite game. In the series, just I love the vibe and the atmosphere and the music and so much about that game, but
I just liked them in general.
Yeah, I mean, I liked X3.
Like,
also,
I didn't sit there like, oh no, this Mega Man wasn't like the Persona 5 of video games. Didn't like look. It's Mega Man. I jump and I shoot.
Everybody's...
I don't need like a noble cause. I'm fighting robots. Bitching about having sentience.
How do you feel about Mega Man Legends?
Oh, the pain.
Well, the Legends...
The pain of it not coming back?
That pain, yes.
I don't know about Legends, like, but I...
Like, my heart's been broken enough. There's a reason why I avoid other things that could potentially break it. Damn you, Capcom.
I fucking love Mega Man Legends.
It's such a charming series.
Like I said, I'm not a big fan. I understand the hype. It's just not anything that really got me. And it's not that I haven't played them, because I have. I haven't really played a lot of them, but I just, again, for me, that just doesn't...
It's one of those things that I feel like if it had just came out, say, in the GameCube era, it would have had a better chance, because early 3D didn't have enough resources to put enough stuff on the screen to sell you on a fully lived-in city.
Yeah, but what was there was, like, so cool. Like, I spoke to, like, every fucking NPC in that game, in both games, 1 and 2. Like, you know, that's one of those games that just brings... That's when nostalgia hits.
Oh, but, yeah. You know,
yeah, and it's like... It was just, the lore implications from it, one being at the end of the timeline, so it's technically the most advanced. And then, like, 2, the fact that technology rolled around to a point to where they're making artificial humans that are just casually able to unsocket their arm and attach a bazooka in its place. And people are like, yeah, that's normal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, for me, Mega Man for me is always the... I mean, and I feel the same way at the Battle Network. I know that people really like the Battle Network.
Yeah, like, Legends and X is peak, but I really do feel that's what confused me as a kid. They really should have just figured out a way to not call it Mega Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think all it did was confuse about half the people who wanted to jump and shoot, and they're like, what's this grid shit? Why do I have cards?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And, I mean, I don't hate it. I played Mega Man Battle Network 2,
I don't
and
hate
I thought
them.
It was pretty good.
I just
good.
Think that was a bad business decision, even if it was based on seemingly sound logic.
Because you've got, you know, you got Mega Man Zero, you got Mega Man X, and the regular Mega Man. And, I mean, oh, ZX to an extent,
yeah,
those are all I need. Like, for me, those are all I need. Like, as long as you have the, and, I mean, I guess we can kind of say Gunvolt in a way. Gunvolt is kind of like a spiritual successor, but to me, it doesn't feel like one.
None of them are ever going to feel the same, because you're wanting it, you're holding it up to the standards of the archetypal games in its franchise.
I don't know.
And trying to fill that void when it's like, you're not going to fill that void. It's just,
right.
Hey, if you like Super Metroid and you want to play something that's kind of like Super Metroid, we have this lovely niche little genre called Metroidvania.
Which I'm playing right now. And
they don't make a lot of indie games for it or anything, but...
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of these Metroidvania games are fantastic. Verna Legend I'm playing right now is really fun. I mean, I was making a joke about how
like, there's a million indie Metroid-based
games. There is. Oh my god, there's so many. But there's so many that are coming out that are
and
really
it's fucking
good.
Great, cause you, it's just so good because Metroidvanias are one of those few genres of games that by its genre demands a competently designed game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you have to progress the level, you have to progress through the levels, through the mechanics, and by joining them together like that, you're pretty much assured that your game is sound on a gameplay level.
Yep. And every one of them has their own different little quirks and stuff. Like, this one's pretty cool. She's got, like, an airship, and she goes to different, like, floating islands. Every part of the game's a different floating island. Of course, you'll be coming back to different floating islands. And she gets memories, you know, like any other Metroid game. You get memories, and that gives you an ability to, you know. And, of course, it's not a fucking Dark Souls. I mean, it's hard, but it's not stupid hard. That's one thing I didn't like about these, is that they've got, oh, are we all going to make them
Dark
hard?
Dark Souls just requires different... Yeah, Dark Souls just requires different skills, because it requires understanding that 3D gaming spatial awareness.
Yeah, but they've made the Dark Souls type Metroidvanias where it's just really, you know, basically what that means is just overly difficult. They've added a lot of extra difficulty in there.
Yeah, it's like if I wanted to fucking play Contra and Ninja Gaiden, they're right over there.
Oh yeah, that's how I feel about that too.
Like that Cyber Ninja game broke my USB controller. I swear to God.
Oh fuck that game!
I got to, like, the end, and I had to use cheats, because fuck that vertical section.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. That fucking game, dude.
Like, I just wanted to beat the game so I could focus on work. I didn't care anymore.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
I was baited, because it's like, oh, the Shovel Knight people are making a game about cyber ninjas. Say no more.
Well, that wasn't even them. That was, they licensed it.
I know, they produced it. It's just, you get excited because it's like, wow, Shovel Knight was actually really fun and unexpected.
Maybe this will be.
I mean, it technically was, but it's once you actually got enough to where you could backtrack and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could be like, yeah, this was the best part of the game. The ending sucked. The beginning was slog. But that middle section where you're, like, in the dojo getting abilities, that was cool.
Yeah, see, I mean, I never finished all the stuff in Shovel Knight. Like, I beat the original Shovel Knight path, like, with Shovel Knight. But then there's, like, all this other shit that they
Yeah, I didn't play any of those variant ones.
I looked at them, and, I mean, there's a few that are kind of cool, but...
Well, I played... No. I played that first one, because you could play as Plague Knight, and then I got bored.
Yeah. Yeah. Plague Knight. I played that one. And they had, like, an arena. They even made, like, an arena version. It's like, holy shit. They did, like, a bunch of different stuff for Shovel Knight. It's pretty cool. And then they did, like, the Shovel Knight, the new one, where they basically tried to make it Super Nintendo graphics, but they fucked it up. They fucked up the whole gameplay style of it. And nobody cares about it anymore. Shovel Knight Dig. Yeah, fuck that game. And they didn't even make it DRM-free. Like, all these games... We're not going to have DRM-free games for very much longer because these devs just don't want to do it anymore. They're getting to the point where... They act like...
Yeah, it's like even with these little indie devs doing RPG Maker games,
Let me tell you what happened. It's not their fault. It's Nintendo. Nintendo's Switch console is changing indie games. Because Switch just said, fine, we'll take it. And now that they can put their games on the Nintendo Switch, they say, well, we've got it on Steam, we've got it on Switch, we'll have it on the Xbox, and that's it. Nothing else. I mean, because we know people are going to buy it. We've got everything covered. They pretty much see, we've got all the platforms covered. We've got the Xbox, we've got the Switch. They don't even put them on the PS sometimes. Sometimes they put them on the PS, but not all the time. So it's basically Xbox, Switch, and Steam.
And that's, let Sony suffer.
And that's it. Because like that new Toxic Avenger or Toxic Crusaders beat 'em up that's coming out, like that's not gonna release on any kind of DRM platform, and of course our DRM free platform, and. The developers of Sea of Stars, we hammered them. They were basically like, oh, we're not going to release on any other platforms for now. It's like, well, I guess your game's not going to get paid, bought. It's not going to, I'm going to play it, but I'm not going to pay for it.
I'm not buying this.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, but I'm going to play it because it's supposed to be a spiritual successor to Chrono Trigger. I mean, I like the idea. It looks good. It's got Yatsunori Mitsuda's music in it. They were trying to do, like, a true spiritual successor to Chrono Trigger. And this is the people that made...
I mean, good fucking luck.
These are the people that made the... It looks amazing, though. So, I don't know. They might damn well be able to do it. I mean, the battle system and everything.
How do you make... Like, that game is so uniquely hold its own thing. Like, yep. It's a time travel based RPG.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do much with time travel that Chrono Trigger didn't, unless you just, like.
Right.
I don't even know what you could do. Like, you would actually have to do, like, Zelda level puzzles with, like, light world, dark world shit messing with time.
Well, see, they made a, They made a version of that for Mega Man ZX. The fan-made Mega Man ZX, the one that goes in, it has the dark and the light world in it. And it's actually really good. It was a Japanese-made fan game, and it's complete. And they made a complete Mega Man ZX adventure. It has a dark world and a light world, and you need to go through both of them. So that's pretty cool. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying there. So, I had this conversation with a guy. Basically, he said, he was saying that my stuff was painful to listen to when I read the comics. He said, oh, this guy's painful to listen to. And I said, well, thank you. We aim to displease here at Grimm's Comics Corner. And he said, oh, don't get mad, just do better. And I'm like, yeah, basically he said, no, I told him, I said, look, dude, this is something I do for fun because I'm going to read the comics anyway. So I figure I might as well act them out and have fun with it. And the guy said, well, he's like, so you spend thousands of dollars on all this equipment and all this hours of editing to make the most terrible sounding stuff. I'm like, it's like, no, I didn't spend thousands of dollars on the equipment, and I
need to stop over mystifying the creative process in that regard. Like,
and it said, dude, no, I use a program that
it was with a 10-year-old potato.
Yeah,
it was top of the line 10 years ago. You don't need the kind of equipment that people think you do.
Right. And he's like, well, there's a bunch of other people that do it better. I'm like, well, who? So I looked at some people, and I found out there's a guy by the name of C-Dub. Now, the difference between him and me is that he actually, I don't know how he does it, by AI or something, but he gets voice actors to do all the parts from the comics as he reads them, but he doesn't do the stuff I do. He does, like, the X-Men and stuff like that. He doesn't do the kind of more obscure stuff that I do. So I kind of have that kind of that part cornered, because there's not a lot of people that do that. And I did think
he doesn't touch the indie shelf.
Yeah, and I do think there was another guy. Go ahead.
Now, so listen, you know, a comment like that—that's kind of like I get it. You read it, but it's kind of a throwaway comment to me, because, like you said, you do it for fun and your entertainment, and you're just like, I'm reading it anyways. Might as well have some people, if they want to stop by and check it out,
mm-hmm.
they come by and check it out.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to improve your audio quality after that comment, cool.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a video, like, I got to check out the full length of that Lady Death video and tell you what's up. Oh, I can tell you that it's blurry. But
it's blurry.
Other than that,
okay.
Yeah. And this is on my PC that I was checking the video out on.
All right, because I was checking it on my phone. It looked okay.
The resolution.
Okay. That's weird, because I've got it set at the highest resolution that I'd have on my rig, which is pretty, yeah. So that's weird that it's blurry, because
have you checked the rendering quality on your video thing? Maybe when you export it, it's in a lower resolution.
Maybe. Did you watch it on YouTube? Because that's, maybe
yeah.
YouTube kind of, I don't know, they might change
it. YouTube will compress it.
Maybe they compressed it a little bit, because, I don't know, check the BitChute version and see if that's a little different, because I uploaded the BitChute version just a few, maybe an hour or so ago. So check that and see if it looks a little different on there. But,
okay, hold up. Looks up.
Yeah, so check that one out and let
go
me
ahead,
know
man.
What you think. Because I looked at it myself on my own rig and on my phone. And if I notice something that's really blurry or messed up, I'll do something. Also, you got to keep in mind, I'm reading from a scan. So I can only read as high as that quality that scan is. I mean, that's all we have. There's no digital high-resolution copy of that book in existence. No version of that ever came out in digital. So that's what I've got.
All right, Grim. The BitChute version looks very good.
Oh. So it is YouTube. Oh, shit. Well.
Yeah, and that wasn't the only video that was like that
mm-hmm.
before, but it's just like, I forgot what video I watched, but when you put it out, it was blurry, and then, like, I think I checked it out, like, 2 days later, it was just fine. And so, I don't know if I just checked it out as soon as it rendered or anything like that, but, you know.
It might be YouTube.
We'll get around to it. We'll see what's up. Let me actually check it out on YouTube right now.
Yeah, it might be YouTube. YouTube is doing weird shit. YouTube, I don't know what the hell was going on, because you notice I uploaded all my Invisibles and Transmetropolitan. It took a slap hour and a half to upload, to check the Invisibles Arcadia arc. I don't know what the hell YouTube was doing. There was other stuff that was already posting, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then it finally finished, and it was like maybe 2 hours later. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I find that just abandoning it when it gets to be that bad and starting again will fix it.
No.
Okay,
it's not the processing.
Yeah, it's fixed now.
Oh.
Yeah, because I checked it out like as soon as it came up. And then freaking, so now I'm on my on my phone,
yeah,
and it's perfectly fine.
What in the hell is YouTube doing? That's not good, because people first check out your video when it uploads. Like, that's the main time that people want to check out your video. If you're giving them a blurry video that's not fully clear, especially when it comes to a comic book, that's an issue.
All right, so both of your leads definitely are taking.
Encourage people to have their shit pre-uploaded, and that's what it's secretly lording you into. So it's, oh yeah, you had this video made days ago in advance, and now you're ahead. You're not working day to day to just put out a video today. You're working to put out the day after tomorrow's video today.
Right. Now, oh yeah, always. I've already got videos ready to go for next fucking week. I mean, that's just how it is. I've already done the stuff for next week.
I wonder if you could, I guess try something, Grim. Try uploading one of the next week's videos, setting it to the date you want.
And then see if
it'll
process.
And just have it premiere next week.
I don't even think I can premiere. I don't have enough people. Yeah, YouTube's really fussy about that.
Whatever it is, where it, like, auto-publishes your video.
I don't even think it'll let me do that. Not until I have at least 100 people or 1,000. I know that the only thing that I don't like is when you start reaching a certain amount of people, that's when YouTube starts. I mean, they give you more features, but then they start watching your stuff more critically. And that's when things get
it's
a little...
It's not even that. It's like...
Get a little hard.
Some of these features should be like...
From the...
I shouldn't have to petition that hard for certain features.
Oh, I agree with you. 100%. Man, if you want a true Metroidvania, this... I have no idea where the fuck I'm going. Like, if that's the kind of game you like, this is for you. Like, I literally have... I mean... Because, you know, I don't know... Imagine if you can go anywhere you want, but you can't access certain areas. That's what this game is like. So you can go to different islands, but you never know...
So you're saying, like... So it's like your abilities or your keys to progress.
Yeah. But, oh, shit. Yeah, and you don't... And I don't seem to die from fall damage or anything. It seems like it's just so massive that when you fall, you end up in another part of the map. There's so many different areas. Oh, shit. Hold on. This is not easy. Okay. It's a really fun, well-made game, though. I think I paid, what, maybe $17 for it? See, that's what I like. You don't pay a whole bunch of money for a game like this. That's good, because I remember paying a lot of money for a game like this back in the Super Nintendo days. Holy shit, I remember paying a lot of money for games
like this. Yeah, it's one of those, like...
Shit.
We really don't need that much to be happy, and everyone acts like everything's gotta be made at, like, top of the line, accelerated graphics.
Oh, I'm getting tired of that, yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, back to the guy's comment. The dude did say one thing, though. He said, you know, maybe I'll be wrong and you'll hit, like, 3-digit subscribers in the next couple of weeks. I said, well, you know, maybe I will be. I'm at 72, which is a little more, you know, and I keep uploading things. Now that I'm actually able to produce the comics more, because I didn't think I was allowed to do the DC stuff. But when I saw that guy was doing Marvel stuff... And Marvel wasn't getting on to him. I said, well, fine. I'll put the DC stuff I've got up there. And sure enough, YouTube didn't flag me for it. So, okay. I thought I was going to get in trouble for the Transmetropolitan. Because there's a lot of stuff in there. And the Invisibles. There's some really hardcore stuff in there, too. But apparently YouTube is considering that artistic causes. You know, if there's nudity, it's artistic. So they're not giving me anything for it. So, that's cool. But I'm going to keep doing them. I'm going to keep on posting stuff. Obviously, I said that Lady Death stuff and the evil Ernie, I'm doing them once a month, you know. But the other stuff, because I've got to do, I mean, I'll tell you right away, I've got 2 Spawn to do. I've got to do Spawn volume 6 this next week? And then I got to do volume 7 the week after. And then after that, I'll be doing just 1 volume of Spawn a month, which is fair. And that other month, I'll just cover some other stuff. Probably I'll go back to the Aspen comics, because I know the Fathoms did really well on YouTube. So, Even though I didn't like reading that, and I'll admit I didn't like reading that first arc, I'm curious. Like, the second arc's supposed to be a little better. So, I'll read those, and... I mean, as long as people enjoy it, and again, I like acting out these characters. I have a lot of fun with that. That Lady Death, I actually went so over the top that I ended up freaking giving myself, I don't know, maybe it was an anxiety attack? I don't know. There was one time I know I did. I had an anxiety attack. Maybe I overdid it, but I started getting cold sweats. And it was freaking cold outside, and I said, why am I sweating like I am? And I knew I needed to eat something. By the way, this happened while I was reading That Lady Death. You might catch it, you might not. But if you notice my voice starts to speed up, it's because I'm trying to finish the comic quickly because I need to eat something and drink something. Because I'm feeling, like, bad. And I don't know what happened. I think I might have overdid it. Like, I might have just went
too... Man, that's crazy. My problem goes in the opposite direction. Probably, like, burnt out, and it's like, I need to eat to recover my strength. And I just ate, like, 2 days worth of food.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I was feeling... I was like, okay. So I devoured, like, a whole... Oh, I forgot to buy some. But I devoured, like, a whole bag of trail mix. Like, you know, because this has salt and sugar, and that's the two things I need right now. Yeah, well, it wasn't the whole bag.
That's nutrient dense.
Just
like,
what I had...
I know better to fuck around with trail mix.
Yeah, that's what I needed. I needed salt and sugar. Because I knew I was losing salt because I was freaking sweating like you wouldn't believe. And I was sweating bad. I was like, why the hell am I sweating so bad? It's cold. And I needed water. So I quickly got some water. And after I got some water, I downed that fucking trail mix. And then after that, I felt better immediately. I was like, holy shit, I guess I overdid it on the voices. Because I just pushed myself so hard when I did those fucking voices. I didn't realize it. I got into it. You know, remember, I used to be a performer. Like, when I was in my band, I would perform the vocals. So, when I do these characters, I put in that level of... You know, and the guy's like, you need to be better. How can I be better? Like, I'm doing the literal best that I can when I do these characters. That's, you know, I understand that sometimes I may miss words. And, you know, even when I'm doing the visual novels, I'll miss words. When I did, in Yochu, I missed a bunch of words, but, even so, I tried to make sure that I hit hard on the, you know, the narrative elements that I'm supposed to with the story. Like, when there was a shonen battle, basically. They were fighting a demon, and it's basically something you'd see in any anime. And I wanted to make sure all the points were great. And a lot of this goes back to me being a kid, playing with action figures, you know, because you used to do all the voices for them. I don't know if all kids did, but I did. I had a voice for all the different characters.
Most kids
and,
did. Like,
and,
some grew out of it, but
and
at
I,
some stage or another, you doing the voices.
I, you know, and again, that's what I did. I was like, Well, see, but the difference with these characters is some of them don't have voices. Or I don't know what they sound like. So I have to look at the character, you know, as they're written to determine how I want to make them sound. That's where I came up with Evil Ernie's voice. And that's why I like Evil Ernie the way he sounds. Because that's the only thing that kind of registered in my head for him. And then, of course, you know, Lady Death, I wanted her to sound a certain way. I wanted her to sound like a seductress. But then again, in her own comics, because of who she is as Hope, you know, she's got this kind of almost pompous, you know, feel to her. I had to give her that when I went into the comic. I wanted her to be pompous. But then you have the Purgatory. And Purgatory, I'm like, well, I want her to be kind of seductive, but I want her to be, like, fierce. I want her to have a fierce voice. So, I you know, because she's, like, a very greedy, I want your blood kind of bitch. It's like, I must have your blood, you know, one of those kinds of things. Whereas Lady Death, you know, she really kind of puts on a front when she's with Evil Ernie, because that's not how she acts. Like, if you read the Lady Death comics as compared to how she acts in Evil Ernie, she's very much a different person. Like, I mean, we're talking about a medieval woman, basically. So she has that kind of pompous nature. And I don't know if you can tell, but yeah, it's there. It's definitely there.
Yeah, if you read Origins, you find out why she's pompous. She's kind of from not a royal family. Like, what's a lord?
Aristocrat?
Yeah, aristocratic family.
I knew she was. She felt like she was.
Yeah, it was. And then, you know, she went through her hardships in hell to get back. Did you watch the movie at all?
I haven't watched the film, but I am kind of curious how they do her voice. Is Purgatory in the film?
No, Purgatory is not in the film.
Okay. All right. So I got
to... So your idea of Purgatory is spot on that one. So okay. All right. You're good on that.
All right. Because, yeah, I wanted to make sure all the characters fit. Of course, Lucifer was very easy to do. Very deep voice. You know.
Yeah.
But, no, I have a lot of fun with those. Those are really good. And I don't act those... I act those out more than I do with, like, Transmetropolitan and The Invisibles and all that kind. Because if you really wanted me to be honest, if I do in those, I have to do them with a British accent. And I do not have a British accent. I mean, I can do some things, but most of those characters are British or Scottish. And I have done things like that before, and they've come out okay. But it's, you know, it's a different sort of thing. I am American, so I can't quite hit it as well as Phil can. Yeah.
I can't do an American accent that well. It kind of doesn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like I'm trying to, you know, so when I do a British, like, there's certain, you know, terms I can do. I mean, I know enough about British culture, I guess you could say. I'm not very well versed in it, but I know enough about it. So, you know, it's something where I can be like, all right. I mean, I've watched my Doctor Who, but I'll go back to, like, I used to love Monty Python. That was one of my favorite comedy shows growing up was Monty Python. And it was my uncle's as well, the one who died of AIDS. Pretty crazy story there, but his favorite comedy show or favorite show was Monty Python's Flying Circus. And of course, he caught it when it was actually still being aired, you know, where it was still being syndicated. It's pretty hard to believe now. But yeah, I like that. Of course, I like Fawlty Towers and stuff like that. But I've been reading a lot of British comics, you know, so I mean, I kind of get the idea. I think Warren Ellis is one of those, if I'm not mistaken. Because, you know, I do the Transmetropolitan and he's British, but he understands American culture very well. A little bit too well, to be honest. I think he's got American culture better than Americans do. That's pretty sad.
Tragic.
Culture everywhere.
Again, it's people romanticizing anything, not them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it would be surprising if a British person did, huh?
Right.
Especially with generation. Your American influence in the media is
Oh, yeah. We've influenced pretty much everybody now. I don't know how deep American influence is over there, to be honest. I mean, I know that we've influenced, obviously, the feminism. Or did that come from your neck of the woods? I'm not real sure on that point.
It came from all sides. Hopefully both sides had the same group of people.
Yeah.
Same.
My bad.
But yeah, with the influence, I say it's pretty much, it's there, but it's not deeply rooted that it will change the culture.
Right.
Lodged at five, so to say, the sound thing.
I mean, we took our American Idol from your pop idol, because y'all used to have pop idol, and now we have American Idol. I don't even know if you still do Pop Idol in your country. But I know they've done American Idol for about 20 or 30 seasons now, and it's absolutely crazy that they're still doing this vaudeville stuff. I don't know if they're... I mean, But that's what Americans really are watching. They're still watching the same stuff. They're still doing a lot of the same. It's like American culture really hasn't changed that much since the 2000s. Like, as far as what people are... I mean, obviously people are watching a lot more Netflix and stuff like that and streaming. But I think a lot of people these days are just... we are getting into almost this global kind of homogeny where everybody's kind of watching the same shows and listening to the same music, playing the same games. You know, it's not like, you know, in your neck of the woods.
It is, yet it isn't, because, like, it depends if you're watching mainstream culture or niche culture.
That's true. But what I'm saying, like...
Enough to make...
The mainstream is more homogenized than ever, but the non-mainstream is more splintered than ever.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, well, it always will be. It always will be. It's a niche for a reason.
No, I'm talking, like, just anything not on your big, major corporate places are just anyone could be into anything.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean... That is kind of a problem, because that's one of the reasons, you know, look, I still stand by the gatekeeping, because it's a reason, the thing, we opened it up for everybody. We opened the floodgates for everybody. We said, here, you can get into anything you want now, and people were getting into things that normally were super niche and probably wouldn't have interested them, you know, years ago, but now they're like, oh, that's cool. And then they're like, well, hold on, wait, why does this not have a character like me? Why does this not have this? Why does this not have that? And that is a problem. Because now everything is open to everybody, and everybody wants to change it to meet what they want. It's like, oh, well, this isn't what I want. Well, it was never for you in the first place. But you can't tell people that, because that's seen as being rude or... You know.
Well, again, that's why the niche is only going to get more niche, because these small groups aren't going to take that crap unless they're already progressive, and in that case...
isn't there gatekeeping? I've got a person who wrote it, but there's like four types of people that were in the book. It was the creative people that actually make the product that mm-hmm. people enjoy,
yeah.
The fanatical fans, the people that help. Technically, the people that have been there before it got popular
mm-hmm.
and helped
yeah.
maintain the group, so on, even after it's gone. Mm-hmm. Then after there's the normies and there's like these corporate people. Well, technically, they're called parrots. The people that can create stuff, mm-hmm. when they get into it, they're normally
good. Vultures.
Oh, yeah. I can't stand those.
It could be creative people, but at the same time, they know how to make money, sway people, all that stuff. And when, like, they drain the resource, the normies move on to another place to find, oh, this is the new thing.
Yeah.
And after they leave the old hold.
Yep.
And it's just the creatives and the finite. And if they're strong enough, they can rebuild into a stronger and more resistant body that can survive
yeah.
if the number of plague normies come again.
Well, see, the issue...
But most...
Go ahead.
Yeah, most groups don't survive, like Star Wars. Star Wars is mm-hmm. dead. It is died.
Yeah, it is. Now, like, they're going to move on to Warhammer. Warhammer is next. I mean, it's just the writings on the
wall. They're already on it.
I mean...
Yeah, they're right on it.
They've already been attacking that. What are you talking about?
Attacking that for... say almost 5 years now. Like I go into it because I generally like weird shit.
Sure.
But they're on it, but at the same time, Warhammer's Warhammer, and the people that are there don't really like how to say it. They're Asperger, they're autistic. Let's say it. People that like Warhammer are autistic.
Sure.
So if they find too weird and changing, it's like house,
mm-hmm.
and they're gonna stay. We're not sure who's going to...
Warhammer is already a very expensive hobby. I don't think the normies are going to be able to fuck with it too much.
No, they're not going to go for the models. They're going to go for the lore. That's...
Yeah.
They're going to say, this angel. And why can't we have female spaceships?
Okay, I want to see some more females representing actual combat roles, if that's the case. It's like, do you realize what you're advocating for?
Right.
Oh, no. They have a bunch of characters in Warhammer, it's just that they want a certain type.
They just want the females to be the popular thing.
That's it.
They have...
Even though Fate Stay Night has, like, a dozen...
Oh, God.
Androgynous character. They have to make Astafonso trans. It's not every other tomboy and or trappy boy. Mm-hmm. It's just Astafonso. That's the scalp they want.
It's really crazy. Yeah, I get it. I mean, again, it's like RGE said. They're going to come in there. They're going to come into the hobby. Demand that the hobby be changed, and as soon as the hobby's changed, they're gonna leave. And of course, they drive out all the people as soon as they demand it be changed. After they change it, and then they're gonna they're gonna get bored of it. Like, oh, this isn't fun anymore. Let's go to the new thing, and then it's already ruined. Like nobody wants it anymore. That's what they did to Star Wars, and that's what they're trying to do to Lord of the Rings. And that's what they're trying to do to Warhammer. And that's what they're trying to do to everything else. They're trying to do it to anime, but they're not going to, because anime is gatekeeping hard.
Japan, like, people do not understand Japan, and it's like their Achilles heel. Because they're like, how come people don't care about the Kenshin mangaka being all whatever? And it's like, bro, that's like telling someone in America that a celebrity was jailed for weed.
Yeah, they don't understand Mashita's talked about.
They do not understand that man's fantasy. Yeah. That man is about a certain age gap, and it's about that age gap for life. It doesn't matter how old the character becomes. He just likes that age gap dynamic from the beginning to the end. That just seems to be the core of that fetish of his.
Yeah, and let's be honest here. Mashita-san has made videos about how the lolicon or how the young, you know, he's made deep video. Yes, he's a comedian, but he is one of the best YouTubers I've seen that really has explained Japan, explained these kinds of things in, you know, a very short 10-20 minute video. He said, look, the idol fetish is mostly young girls. It is young girls. And it's basically young men who buy every single record they make. They buy hundreds of records of the same girl just so they're, you know, that they're... It's a support model. That's how they do that. They want the girl to be young and innocent. They value innocence in Japan. They want innocent women in Japan. Innocent and cute and moe and all that kind of thing. That's what they like. And to people in the West, they can't get it.
Because America, who you tell them, we want cute, and they produce trolls from the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's completely different. They don't understand.
Yeah, we live in an era where women aspire to look like trolls instead of, you know, Barbie dolls.
Oh, yeah.
Time to be alive.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I don't understand it myself. Because
I think what it is that they worship this ugliness because at least if they're ugly, they have an excuse to fail. Mm-hmm. Rather than if I do my best and I show everyone who I really am and then I fail, I've invested too much at stake personally and now it hurts because no one likes the real me. I should have just stayed in the shell.
Yeah. It's a mixture between self-hate and a fear of failing.
Right.
Which is already breed, because...
It's more of the fear of failing as your real self, so you create the failure that you can manage.
Now the...
If it was just their friend, they wouldn't try anything. They're always hateful. You wouldn't be that level of hate if you didn't have some girl.
Yeah.
They don't like something about it. Slide.
Yeah. Like,
I think it's a conformity thing, though.
Now,
like, they want to fit in.
You're talking about the trans, right? If you're talking about the trans, Now, see, I like...
Oh, all of it.
One thing I like about... I want to explain this real quickly, because I did cover this in a comic. But one thing I want to explain is when Warren Ellis, but Grant Morrison is a very progressive guy. One of the big progressive guys that started the whole Matrix thing. Now, when he designed Fanny, who is a trans person... Now, this is a scene in the story I want to explain, and I want you guys to understand this, that basically there is a old redneck guy. They're in a diner, I don't know, somewhere in America. They're all eating, and they said, and I think he went to the bathroom, you know, dressed as a woman, you know, went to the men's bathroom because he doesn't have any kind of, like, he says, yeah, I'm dressed like a woman, but I have a penis. I'm going into the men's bathroom. So goes into the men's bathroom, uses the bathroom, right? And then after that, basically walks out, and the guy says, this faggot, or whatever. He says, literally says to him, this faggot, or whatever, was trying to use the bathroom. And Fanny says, yeah, I'm a faggot. And he said, and you have a nice dick. And he said, we better get out of here before we get beat up. But anyway, what happens there is, look, we have a man that is dressed like a woman, acts like a woman, everything else, believes a woman, but knows he's a man. Knows he's a man. Doesn't go in there, doesn't try to say differently. Yes, it's like, yeah, I am a faggot. Okay, I am gay. I do like gay men. I mean, I am dressed as a woman. I do, you know, fashion myself, but I know I'm a man. I don't have any biological insecurity. I have a penis. That's biology. I'm not trying to cut it off. I just consider myself more of a feminine kind of person, but I still have a dick. That's biology. The difference in that and what we have now are people that think they are women. Literally think they're women. And, you know, and Grant Morrison was trying to say pretty clearly that Fanny knows is a man. Like, as much as he wants to pretend to be a woman and act like a woman and even try to pull off as a woman, you know, it's still a man. And that's the difference there. And this was one of the most progressive comic books ever written.
Yeah, I get it. Why they hate the trap culture. They just want to sell people on this Frankenstein lifestyle.
And it's ridiculous. Because they're not being true to themselves. They're not
being... It's just a medical establishment conspiracy at this point to sell you on that stupid operation and a lifetime of medication.
Exactly. And it's really damaging.
Look at the fucking cash cow it is for pharmaceutical companies. $10,000 surgery, antibiotics to keep you from rotting and closing wounds.
Yeah.
All the antidepressant medication things that you can use to suppress your mental disorders.
Like I'll say, just admit, there's a guy say, just admit you're a man, you like other men, and you just would rather look like a girl instead of a man. It's like, just because I'm a man, I'm a more feminine guy. I'd rather consider myself a female. Like, I wouldn't give a shit. I wouldn't give a shit in hell. But when you're saying, oh, we're real women. No, you're biologically not. You can call yourself a woman. You can act like whatever, but you are not an actual woman. You can... You know, you can pretend to be one, just like Fanny does. Fanny knows the difference. It's a wig. You take the wig off, and there's a man there. It's not anything, you know, it's not anything special about it. Yeah, it's play pretend. I'm pretending a woman because I like that idea. I like the feel of that. Now, a man can never be a woman because a man can't experience the things that a woman experiences. They have a completely different mind and mindset than we do. They behave differently than we do. That's the difference between a man and a woman. There's a lot of differences between a man and a woman. If there wasn't any differences between a man and a woman...
We're all equals and we're the same, but I'm special and unique.
If there wasn't a difference between a man and a woman, then there wouldn't be the differences that we have. There wouldn't be this dichotomy where we're like, oh, fuck men and fuck women. We'd be like, oh, we're all the same, because we would see it as the same way. Women would act as men do.
Yeah, we would just be on the fuck everyone else dichotomy.
Women would have the same kind of libido and the same feelings as men. Like, they would be the same way. There's women out there that try to pretend they're like that, but they're not like that. No matter how much they want to pretend, I'm a dude.
They actually kind of are. It's just...
Well, like, no, you're not a dude, though. You can act like the dude. You can act like a dude, and you can fit in with the dudes. But at the end of the day, you're still a woman. You still have woman functions. And it is what it is. Like, Empress can't even tell you that. She said that she thought she might have been a man for a while. Until what? She had a child. She said that changed everything. As soon as I became a mother, I realized, hey, I'm a woman after all. This is what I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what God put me here to do. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe some of these women need to have children. I don't know. I have no fucking clue. But I know that this shit needs to stop. Because if it doesn't, we're just going to completely fuck society. And again, maybe that's kind of what they want.
They want shit to break. It's like, every time I turn around, it's like, oh, the banking institution's ruined. And it's like, can I go 1 week without something being set on fire besides a food plant?
Yeah, it's getting bad. And I don't think people realize how bad it's getting.
This is like mustache-swirling villain, instead of being thwarted by the hero every week, just gets away with it, and nobody knows he's getting away with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I mean, people know.
Yeah, they're not doing anything about it. Because
it's not common knowledge. Like, for us people who are the rare breed who... seek the truth, we're different.
Like, again, there's, the thing is, look, the people know that they're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything. And you know why they're not going to do anything? Because there's enough bread and circuses out there to get them distracted by something else so that they won't do anything.
It's like TFM or whatever would say, it's like, oh, so you're just going to go and beat a lone shooter psycho that just accelerates it? Okay. Like, yeah, go ahead. Be a hero. I dare you.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I understand why he's saying that, and I don't agree why he's saying that, but fuck, he's true.
Yeah.
He's... On this one particular thing, it's like, yeah, don't throw away your life in a way that benefits the system you wish to destroy.
Yep.
That's like, straight up classic architect maneuver right there.
Yep. I mean, I get it. I totally get it. I mean, but there's always something to distract people. It's always something to distract people. There's always something to give people, I'm not worried about this anymore.
Not all the distractions are pleasurable, though. Like, some of it's just throw so much negative shit and just pressure on you that you can't focus. Oh, now I gotta work 80 hours a week to afford a ham sandwich.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Things are really starting to raise. Prices are getting real bad. Like, they're getting real bad, man. $100.
Oh, man,
nothing.
It's getting so bad. It's getting stupid. I tried to quit my employer, and he called me back 2 days later because the Mexicans didn't want to work for cheap anymore.
What?
Yeah, the Mexicans all wanted, like, $20 an hour or more for, like, basic bitch under-the-table labor.
The fuck? Holy shit.
Even, like, carpentry or anything.
If we've got the Mexicans, like, Mexicans are known for cheap labor. And now they're like, oh, hell no, we're not working for cheap labor.
The problem is, like, their kids don't want to work. And their kids think that they're better than, like, their parents or something.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, that's a... You know why, right? Because they're being exposed to all this American fucking culture and doctrine that's telling them, oh, you don't have to work. They don't realize what's going on.
Or you're entitled to, like, a bunch of fucking money. It's like, $10 tax-free is still a decent deal.
Yeah. It's not good. Damn it. Oh! I hate these enemies. They're not hard. They're just a pain in the ass.
It was so funny. It was like, okay, boss, so we good on this, like, when you tell me a time and I wake up in time, you don't call me before my alarm goes off again?
Mm-hmm.
Can I just get paid the same amount for the same type of job so I can better plan my shit and not have to think about it while I'm at work? Oh, that suddenly wasn't too much to ask for? Thank you. This was a good talk.
I mean, that's insane. I mean, but what I'm saying is you got to understand where I work like the whole women in power thing. I have 5 managers and all of them are women. All of them are women. My supervisors, they're men. The women, they're all managers. All of them. Every single person I work with. And they're like, oh yeah, it's like, no, I have my fill of women. I work with them every day, all day. I take orders. I take orders from them. They tell me to do this and that and the other, and I do it because I want to get paid. I mean, that's just how it is. That's literally my life now. And I'm like, where are the men that run things? Where are they at? And actually, one of the guys I work with, he's a 60-year-old former Marine, and he says, well, we got a new manager, and, you know, it's a woman. She wants to take over everything. He says, that's what women do. They take over everything. And he knows, 60 years, you know. He's like, they take over everything. It's like, yeah, that's how it is when a woman takes over. He says, I know this won't work, but you can't tell a woman that. Said, yeah, you can't. You can't. It's just crazy, man. I worked harder than I ever have in a while. I'm like, God damn, is this going to be work for the rest of my life? I'm going to be looking for any other job in the world now.
But when men are like your managers, it's like my boss. I have to tell him, it's like, no, when I'm like moving something and I'm slowing down for a second, that's not your cue to like brush over me and like try to grab the other side of the thing and fuck with how I'm picking it up.
Right.
If I need your help, I will ask. It's cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I get it.
I have the exact opposite problem.
Well, yeah, with me though, I mean, but see, the thing is, men run it right when they run it, for the most part, but we could never get a good guy to run it back there. And they had one woman run it, and she's okay, but she doesn't do a whole lot. You know, the supervisors do a lot. But then, of course, we have another woman, and she runs pretty much the whole damn store. So, oh, Jesus, it's crazy. And, of course, DP, he's going to be getting hired by her, so he's going to be coming back. So, oh, man, it's just, I want to get another job. I really do want to find something else, but it's like, what can I find at this point? It's like, I don't know anymore. I don't know. I think about it all the time. Let's see. Let me beat these guys real quick. But yeah, I totally get it. I don't know what's going to happen with this country. I don't know what's going to happen with the world. Things are getting...
I was going to say, the world. Like, you can't find a place on Earth that's devoid of this nonsense, or else I'd tell you the next target of the messery.
Oh, no, no. It's... No, there's places out there where you don't worry about it as much, but they're going to be eventually...
As much. Like, key.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you find out that, say, Kekistan was completely immune to all this stuff tomorrow, it's like... Yeah, all of a sudden, it has a bunch of oil, it's got ties of Vladimir Putin,
yep.
And they're putting the trans people in concentration camps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's getting ridiculous. I mean, I was trying to argue with some woman about woke culture today. And she just wrote paragraphs and paragraphs. What's wrong? It's like been 40 years and they finally showing LGBTQ. I was like, Jesus Christ, I don't even care. It's like, I'm not even going to waste my energy with you, lady. She was just going on and on and on and on and on. And she's like, not all communists don't want to work, you know. It's like, what do you mean? Because she's a communist. And she said, well, not all communists. What, you think? She said, I had to have a laugh there. What, you think all communists don't want to work and just get handouts? Yeah. She's one of those. She's one of those. Let me just real quick. She's just one of those that want equal. Like everybody get paid a lot of money for doing that. Like everybody needs to get paid. Like
I don't think you understand why that doesn't. That's still like
yeah,
it's a couple degrees separated, but it's still ultimately okay. Why would anyone want to do the harder work? It's
right.
Like I explained to my boss. It's like. Bro, if I cared about the money, I would be at Burger King. It's across the street. They have regular hours that are scheduled, and I can walk to there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Why would I work in the sun lifting heavy toolboxes for hours on end?
Lifting heavy toolboxes.
And just being in the sun, away from home, on these random, off-the-wall adventures I seem to keep finding myself in.
Item.
But yeah, Hoshi's a couple days away from starting a serious training arc to get even fitter than he's ever been because I'm tired of the job being stronger than me.
Let's see.
Like, this man just loads every large box with nothing but just straight iron.
Wow.
It's like, you know, it kind of sucks not having any energy left after I do all this.
Oh, yeah.
But when definitely. Every damn box is a max rep because it's like 200 or 300 pounds easy.
Damn.
It's like, yeah, this is getting old fast.
Yeah, it is.
And then he's obtuse, he doesn't know where anything needs to be the first time. It's like, I swear to God, he's like a reverse glowy agent sent by my parents to test my resolve.
Huh?
Like, but I'm staying off that damned farm.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm glad that you got off that farm. Even if you do have to go through all this shit, it's worth it.
It's like, I only have to deal with one source of bullshit, and it's work, so it's fine.
Yeah, because what you were dealing with was, you know, pretty crazy, and I'm glad that you actually got something like you can fucking handle. Because you were about ready to go.
It's like, I just hate drama.
Yeah.
Well, life is... I don't care about your stupid bullshit feeling nonsense is stupid, because it's like, okay, you're sad, but what has alcoholism got to do with your solution?
Right.
Your mom isn't going to love you after the 10th beer, I promise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, man.
But yeah, can we just make wholesomeness cool again?
Wholesomeness cool again.
'Cause I'm really tired of this trend where it's like, oh, these movies where the characters have happy endings are boring and blah, blah, blah. We should have, like... It's like, no, you don't want cautionary tales. Because if I start telling some cautionary tales, you're not going to like who's on the side of these cautionary tales. Because
right.
It's going to sound a lot like your life story.
Oh, yeah.
And a prophecy.
I mean, you don't have happy endings being your dream fairy tale end. He got married. Happened. Yeah, they got through in the end. And he died with his family surrounding. Okay, yeah. It's a happy ending. It's not a fairy tale.
Man, do I really want to die with my family surrounding me, though? That just sounds really lame.
Hey, everyone's situation...
I'd rather live to see myself become obsolete and be like, okay, I can rest now. Everything is done. It is finished.
Oh, yeah.
The
world has moved on without me. I'm not needed here. Bye.
No.
Like, why would you want to sit there and see a bunch of people be miserable that you're about to die? It's like, that's just dumb.
I don't know. People want to feel like they're ahead of.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, I don't want to die alone. It's like, I hate to fake it to you, but unless you're in the Kool-Aid Club, You are dying alone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, even when you die, it's like, it's not very long. You will die quicker than you think.
Oh, yeah, you're most likely fall asleep, feel tired, if you got to old age. Yeah. Like, oh, well, go to sleep.
Or it's like, worst case is you're going to violently have whatever painful episode you're going to have that causes your death, but ultimately, it's just...
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know. This I used to be a softer person, I swear, but this Hubbox shit is just killing me.
Hubbox?
Like, everyone wants to be soft people, a woo-woo nonsense. Where it's like, oh, but my feelings, I had to feel my feels. It's like, can you, like, let your emotions not rule you?
Right.
Okay. It's like, yeah, sometimes your feelings are wrong. Because it's like, I want Oreos all the time. But you know, if I listen to myself on that impulse all the time, I'd have to worry about having chins that I don't need.
I mean, they're useful if you go into a situation where you have food, but
now
you're not really in that situation.
Now me, I have the opposite problem. I won't have to worry about chins, but I have to worry about just going overboard. Like, there's a such thing as too much sugar. Now, I have low blood sugar, so I have to eat sugar. But the thing is, if you get too much, I mean, there's too much of a good thing. Even when you have low blood sugar, you don't want to fucking just overdo it. Because then you're like, oh shit, your heart starts racing and everything. Yeah, not the greatest thing. I'm one guy that can take like drink a Mountain Dew and I'm up for like a while. Like I get an hour or two just of energy. But then after that, it fades. So, because my body just metabolizes that fast. That's how fast it metabolizes everything. So I basically eat a carb diet because
it does come with its like trade-offs. Because I'm sure you have a harder time building muscle.
Oh God, I can't build it. Yeah, I can't build much any.
And then it's like that cuts into your lifespan somewhat because you're burning through your what is that thing called? Yeah, your metabolic system.
Yeah. Well, it's whatever. I mean, I wasn't supposed to.
I understand you're not attached to it, but, like, right. I would look into ways to actually slow down your metabolism if you want to suffer less.
Oh, well.
It could be a genetic thing.
Oh, yeah, it's genetic. It's genetic on my end, because my mother's like that, and my whole family is almost like that. So, yeah, it was my grandfather.
Yeah, normally, like, if it's a genetic thing, it might be because of, if it's not diabetes, it could be because of, your family getting starved.
Yeah,
or
being
starved at a period.
I don't have diabetes. I check myself for diabetes. I don't have that.
At one point in your family, a large famine,
Yeah, I mean, we've always had high metabolisms. So yeah, it's just something I'm used to. No big deal on my end.
It's not the end of the world.
No, I mean, it's like, oh, you won't ever be like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but, you know, at least you can eat what you want, not worry about gaining weight so much. I'm like, well, you know what, I'll take that trade-off. I'll never look like Arnold, but at least I can eat and not have to worry about, you know, a lot of other stuff. But I do eat, like, healthier.
Yeah, I wonder if it comes at a cost of your tendon and bone density strength.
No.
Since you can't build the muscle because you can actually strengthen your bones and your tendons through muscle development. It's not all just muscles and bulking up.
I know that, but I do a lot. I mean, my job is exercise. Lifting things. That's what I do. I have to lift heavy boxes
of
bullshit.
But it's like my job. Like, right now, I'm, like, burning through my muscles so much they're not really recovering. They're just fucking sore. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm buying supplements again.
Yeah, I'd
start changing my diet.
I take
actually absorb this stuff and get the benefits instead of just, oh, well, this is a barbecue sandwich. Nearly the equivalent protein to, say, a protein shake or something.
Right. Well, I mean, I eat, like, mainly a high carb, but I have supplements. I take a regular multivitamin, but then I take a bunch of other stuff after that. So I got a bunch of different supplements. I have to take potassium every day. I take magnesium every day. I take vitamin D every day. And I take my heartburn supplement every day, or my reflux supplement every day. That's the most expensive one, but it's worth it. I don't mind paying $30 a month. I take like one pill a day, so.
$30 a month for a good supplement ain't shit, though.
Yeah.
I pay like $50 for my main supplement.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a damn near everything supplement with like 6,000% vitamin C, 90 minerals and such.
Jesus Christ.
So if you see how many things it's simultaneously doing, you get your money's worth in terms of not having to buy dozens of others.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well?
And because the supplements are so nutritionally dense, it cuts down how much I have to eat.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, I eat the trail mix. My trail mix has chocolate in it because chocolate really helps. I can't eat the chocolate with the peanuts in it. That fucks me up. But I can eat it. I don't know. It might just be Snickers in general. Because I can eat chocolate with, like, peanuts. But I can't eat. Well, I can't eat them, like, with cashews I can. But not peanuts. Peanuts are not really good for you anyway. Peanut is, like, the worst kind of fucking nut you can eat. I don't know. Alright, well, I'm gonna probably end this one now. But, thanks everybody for checking in. I think a few people checked out. But, it's been fun, and we had a bunch of stuff that we talked about, and hope you guys enjoyed this one, and obviously, we got our show coming up. Well, I mean, obviously, since this posts on Saturday, you won't see this till Saturday. So, yeah, the show usually posts up on Friday. So, hopefully, that's going to be good. I've got a good stuff planned for that. And we'll see you guys then. But this will be the Grim Lord, and I guess I'm out. And I'll see you next time on Grim Rants Into the Heavens Live. And I am out.